Is Eli a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Total lock. Of course Eli is. Two-time Super Bowl winner. 7 of those 8 wins on those Super Bowl runs are on the road. Mm-hmm. In those wins, over 2,000 yards passing, so like 270 a game, 15 touchdowns, 2 picks. He beats Brady twice. He beats Rodgers twice, and he beats Favre once. Yeah. 3 all-time greats. Don't bring up his stats to me. The stats are plenty, plenty, plenty good. Strictly because of the Super Bowl runs, who he went through, and how he went about doing it, total first ballot lock.
Oh, don't bring up the stats. Oh. Convenient. That's Dan Orlovsky?
Yep.
Very convenient. Yeah, let's not bring up the stats. We don't want to see that they're identical to Nick Foles, by the way. That's always the best comp. He is the same numbers everywhere across the board as Nick Foles. The only difference is one of them beat Brady twice and the other one only beat him once. Yards per attempt is the same. The playoff numbers are the same. Sure. Don't tell me about the stats. All right. That's going to be a year of this.
It ends up being...
Or when's the Hall of Fame? Next August. 10 months.
Isn't that argument a little bit adjacent to you have to talk about Mahomes as the best quarterback in football even though he's not playing like it? Isn't that the same? They're from the same tree. They're from the...
Yeah, but Eli never played like Mahomes did in the first place.
I'm not saying Mahomes is not the Hall of Famer. I'm saying
the
Super Bowl trumps the stats.
Right.
That's what Orlovsky... Don't tell me about the stats. He won the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's what anyone saying Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now would have to say. Don't tell me about the stats. He won the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Adjacent.
Right.
I'm not trying to say Mahomes isn't any good. Just, is he the best quarterback in football right now? No.
The thing, though, about that is, how different would it sound if the Chiefs, despite winning the last 2 Super Bowls right now, were 6-5? How different would it sound if they were 6-5 instead of 9-1 while he's playing like this? Because that's always a point about Eli, too, and the Hall of Fame thing is, well, he's a winner, right? Like, he's got the 2 Super Bowls. Okay, well, he was 500 in his career, and he played in the NFL for 20 seasons. And how many seasons did he win a playoff game? It was just the 2 where he won the Super Bowl. 2. So the Giants dedicated 2 decades to him as their quarterback, and 2 seasons they won a playoff game. Mahomes is out here in the other years still winning the division, still the 1 seed. But I do get the point. I get the point.
803-0550. On the race for the 1 seed. Good morning. It's Football Friday, and Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. So, question for you. Anybody out there? Does any part of you feel like the race for the 1 seed is not worth the risk?
That, what do you mean? Like for injuries and whatnot?
Well, think of what happened last year. Last year they got hurt going into the playoffs, but they had to.
Yeah.
They had to play to the last day of the season. Baltimore did not have to play to the last day of the season.
Right.
Baltimore got a bye, and they got a week before that. They got 2 weeks to get healthy and give it their best shot. They still lost to the Chiefs. But the Bills sustained major injuries in the season finale and in the first-round playoff game as well. You can't avoid the playoff game. You're going to play in the playoff game. But if they had not messed around and had the division locked up with a couple weeks to go, they might not lose some of those players they lost in that Miami game. And I wonder how fresh that is for Bills fans to think, listen, this thing might be wrapped up before they play. The schedule can fall, the division, this week and next week, so that by the time the Bills take the field against the Niners, they are AFC East champs. That is in the cards. And you've got a lot of games to play that, sure, could be for the 1 seed. If Kansas City had beaten you last week, we would be sitting here and saying, I got a month to just do what? Load manage everyone.
Right.
Instead, they have a race for the 1 seed. I feel like if you want to make the case it's not worth it, you could make the case. It's not crazy to me. I'll get my rest in December. I'll get my rest in January. Mm-hmm. I have an extra playoff game. Okay. But I don't think it's worth losing XYZ to get a rest in the playoffs.
How far do you go with that, though? Are we talking just like, hey, final game of the year, it's still in play, and you're resting guys? Are we talking when it's 50-50 guys rest? I feel like they might do that regardless, right? Like, wouldn't you think they could do both? They could go for the one seed and also say, hey, if Dalton Kincaid is 50-50 to play on Sunday, because it's only the one seed that we're playing for, we might as well, we'll hold him out because we're trying to get him healthy for the playoffs. Or are you resting guys with, like, three games to go? Are we talking like, hey, when they play the Patriots in week 16, no, we're just not going to play Terrell Bernard today. We're going to put Bale Inspector in.
Right.
Just to make sure Bernard's not hurt.
Some guys are too important.
Yeah, because that's you don't see that much, right? Where you're sitting guys that are healthy with three games to go, two games to go. I just always wonder, what does that really equate to? Like, I'm gonna take my foot off the gas a little bit. Is that even within a game? Maybe a little bit. Where, hey, in this game, Rousseau's only gonna play 40% of the snaps, and you know, Amari Cooper's only gonna play 25% of the snaps, and maybe in this game it could be about Allen too. We're gonna take quarterback running off the board for the final month of the year. We're gonna up our run rate a little bit to, you know, just not have him be exposed as much in the pocket. I always wonder, what does that equate to beyond just, oh, let's go into the game without Christian Benford because we just want to rest him in week 15? Because you never see that. You only see that in week 18.
Yeah.
So tell me what it means, and then I feel like then it's more debatable, because otherwise I think it is worth it. The Bills last year at the end of the year, they lose Gabe Davis in the Week 18 game, right?
Yep.
They lose him to the Dolphins, but there are other guys they lost in the Pittsburgh game in the wild card round.
Right.
So you could lose them in either spot.
You could, but last year you didn't have a choice. Last year you had to play to the final whistle.
Right.
And this year it's likely, you know, if the Chiefs, if the Bills lose another game here and the Chiefs don't look like they're going to come back, you could know. You're kind of slotting into the two comfortably, and you're going to have to play. So, all right, now we know we're the two seed. Let's rest in week 18 versus
– right.
They. But I'm trying to think the last couple of years when we've gotten to this spot, because they've clinched the division early before.
Sure, they've gone into the final game already having
– and Josh certainty. Has played in those games. They play Allen in games that they don't need.
Yes, he played – the one that comes to mind especially was the game here – that I think Miami needed, if I remember right. Miami needed it for the playoffs.
And the Bills beat him like 56-26.
Yeah, and do you remember what they did with Allen in that game? He played a half. He played the first half, the whole first half. And then it was almost like a preseason game where, like, it looked like it was very designed of, he's going to play the first half and then Barkley's going to play the second half.
Ball's out quick.
Ball was out quick, I think, if I remember right. But they still did play him. So there's what you do with him, and then there's what you do with the rest of the roster, what you do with game planning, I think.
Matt Milano.
Think
how about Matt Milano, who gets hurt a lot? Like, Milano comes back, shows a couple weeks, like, all right, shut it down to the playoffs.
Yeah. What's different about him, though, is he hasn't played a lot.
Right.
Do you want to get him as many reps as possible to, like, warm up, get back to game speed a little bit? Because it's not even just this year. He's missed more than a calendar year of football.
Right.
What's his last football game? Is it like week 4 of last year? I don't remember when he got hurt. It was early on last season, I think.
It was Jacksonville. The London game, week five.
So he hasn't played football in a really long time.
Yeah.
So for him, it might be a little bit of a different, you know,
well, you could
strategy.
get your 3-4 games and then say, like, all right, you made it through. Let's wait till the playoffs.
I tend to think it is worth going for. I think it's worth getting. You are getting. I mean, Dawkins said this yesterday with Kay Adams. Like, one, I think the most valuable thing is always that you're getting the free win.
Free playoff win.
And especially in a year where you might not have any gimmies, any pushovers that make the playoffs, that might be more valuable. And two, I think that extra week of rest that can almost, you know, in some regard make up for any limited snaps you're going to give a guy, any limited snaps or role you're going to put Allen into, if you just say, well, you have a week off now that you didn't have otherwise, I bet you players would say that's more valuable. That rather than slow playing or load management down the stretch of a month of the year and then have to go all out the week before in a playoff game and then play in the divisional round, what would they say you're more ready for? That, load management for a month and then going all out in a playoff game, or go all out for a month and then you get a full week off and then you come back with 2 weeks of rest?
They're good out of a bye.
They're 7-0 out of a bye, I believe. Yep. Under McDermott, they're 7-0.
Those have all been, of course, regular season byes.
Right.
803-0550. Get some calls in on this. The Bills can clinch the division before they play. So Miami plays New England. If you want this scenario, you're rooting for New England to beat the Dolphins. And then the Dolphins play on Thanksgiving against Green Bay, and the Jets play the Seahawks.
Okay.
So
you need a New England over...
New England over Miami sets the stage for Thanksgiving being meaningful to clinch and knock Miami out. If the Dolphins lose to the Patriots and then lose to the Packers, they can't catch the Bills.
Right.
Not that they're going to catch them anyway, but just your clinching scenarios.
Yeah.
803-0550.
We'll guess that game, or we'll talk about that game at 9. Do you want to guess the line very quickly on that? Patriots-Dolphins?
Patriots-Dolphins. Where is it?
It's in Miami.
Guess the line.
Because I feel like New England could win that football game.
Absolutely, they could.
They're 6.5-point dogs.
Okay.
Not as big as you might have thought.
Dominic in Buffalo. Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning. Hey, Jeremy, I'm a Steelers fan. I told your screener that I was willing to wait and go in that direction. But hey, I'm a Steelers fan. I think last night was embarrassing, and I think the Bills are definitely better, much better than us. I don't think we're frauds, but I think that we're definitely not as good as our record indicates. That's all I wanted to say. But I've been a Steelers fan since I was 5 years old, and I'm 31. So,
all right, tough one. Tough one last night. Yeah, the Steelers. The Justin Fields thing to me, like, I don't know. It's just odd. I don't mind mixing it in, having a couple of plays, but they were sloppy. Like, they had penalties when they was out there, procedural penalties when they switched the quarterback. The play call doesn't come in as smoothly. And then on 3rd and 4 to ice the game, like, you don't have Russell Wilson in. Russell Wilson threw you back in that football game, and it's 3rd and 4 with a chance to close it out, and they have Fields on for 2nd and 4 and 3rd and 4, which, you know, I guess if he had run for it and picked it up, that would have been fine. But they threw deep to Pickens. Like, who do I want throwing deep to Pickens on 3rd and 4?
That's the other thing. It's like, if you can't have it both ways. I think the design quarterback runs in those situations are sometimes too predictable. You want him to have the ability to throw, but why is the ability to throw a 50-yard pass down the field? You know, why isn't it something over the middle just to get the first down? Was to me the weird part about that and their usage of him.
803-0550. Thanks, Dominic. I don't think the Steelers are frauds. I think they're good. But yeah,
his comment about are they as good as their record?
They're 9-3.
I think they're probably not as good as their record. But I also think they're better than they've been in past years. They're gonna if they were to go 10-7, I'd say, okay, it's a real Steelers 10-7 team. Before, when they would go 10-7, I'm like, this makes no sense.
Mario in Jacksonville up next. Hey, Mario.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
So I wanted to talk about, kind of combine the topic. You guys are talking about resting the starters, and then the other day, I think you were talking about, is it enough for the Bills to get to the Super Bowl, or do they have to win it? I've been a fan since, I mean, the Drought Bills. I was born in 91, so I really just knew the Drought Bills. And I remember a game in particular. I think it was the 07 season. Do you guys remember we lost to Dallas? I think we were 1-4. They kicked like a walk-off field goal to beat us on Monday night.
Nick Folk hit back-to-back 53-yarders.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. I think we had 4 interceptions on Romo.
Five. I think it was 5.
George Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah. After that game, I remember throwing my hat against the wall. I scuffed the wall, and I was crying and begging my parents not to let me go to school. I was like 16. And in that moment, I realized, hey, maybe I have an unhealthy attachment to this team. I got to take it back a little bit because I'm getting depressed after a 1-4 loss. And so over the years, after the drought, I've become kind of content with the regular season wins and the fact that we have Allen, because never in my lifetime did I think we'd have a quarterback that's amazing. And then last season, last 7 weeks of the season, what have you, it felt like the playoffs. And I was so happy when we won the division. I almost felt like we won a championship. And I got to the point where I'm like, man, I'm just going to enjoy these because I'm always let down in the playoffs. So to get to the Super Bowl, I thought that'd be cool. But then I'm thinking, no, we have to win it. because I will be back to where I was when I was that 16-year-old kid when we lost to Dallas on Monday night. So having said that, I think this season is different. If you have the opportunity, if you clinch the division, say, this week, I think you guys are saying we have potential this week or next week or whatever, I think the coaching staff has to say, hey, maybe 2 weeks, last 2 weeks, we play them like it's a preseason game. We have to rest these guys. Why even put Milano out there if you can save him for the playoffs? Maybe give him a quarter or two just to get his feet under him. But this season, out of all the years, I think the way we're playing, we could be the hottest team going into the playoffs. I think you have to account for that because not that the window's closing, but I think we have to seize the opportunity. And last thing, I just want to give a shout-out to Matt Collins. Every week we laugh that he's out there, and it seems like the last 3 weeks he's made the biggest catches late in the games. And everyone I'm watching with, we always just kind of laugh. Like, we can't believe this guy's out there making these plays. So I'll hang up. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Thanks, Mario. Yeah, the timing of, like, how they handle it. The conversation today is very much, you know, hypothetical. How will this work? By the time we get into December, we'll know. Well, yeah. They're one back, or they, you know, they hold the one spot because Kansas City did lose. And I would even go so far as to say this: that I bet with 2 weeks left,
yeah,
because the Bills are going to lose. I think they'll lose max. I'm going to jinx them here. What's their maximum number of losses they're going to take from here? Two
for the rest of the way.
Rest of the way. Is it two?
I'd be surprised if it's more than two.
I might be surprised if it's two.
I might say because Detroit's great, and then just because football happens, maybe you lose another one you're not expecting.
Okay.
And so, I would even include the Niners on that with an injured quarterback.
Oh, I think they're going
to... I think they'll beat the Niners, but I'm including, like, okay, just
the
some...
The Rams?
Some fluky NFL game that you're not expecting where, like, you lose to the Jets, or you lose to the Patriots, or just, like, some stupid game like that. They've lost to New England. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
One loss to Detroit, and then another game that nobody's expecting.
Well, if you're looking at the way the schedule breaks down, this is what I'm kind of getting at. If they lose to the Niners or the Rams, which are their next two opponents,
right?
If they do not lose to either one of them, you're going to realistically look at one more loss.
It should only
maximum.
Be one more. Right.
You're not losing to New England. You're not losing to the Jets. And I want you to keep that in mind, because let's say there's 2 weeks left in the season, and the Chiefs have a two-game lead on the one seed. They play at Pittsburgh and at Denver.
Yeah.
You're not going to write those off, either one.
Well, here's the other thing. I was just looking at this with the Chiefs' schedule. You're going to have information already by the time the Bills play. Week 17, when do the Chiefs play? They play on Wednesday.
Christmas.
They play on Christmas on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
You'll know 4 days in advance what did they do.
Right.
They have one game back. They have one game left. They lost to Pittsburgh. Okay, that determines my decision. Yeah, you have multiple days to prepare for that if you want. So that actually might be a big benefit to the Bills in this regard, that depending on how much they want to hold back, how much they want to go for things with the one seed chase, you could even include week 16 because they play on Saturday on week 16. So week 16 and week 17, the Bills are going to know what Kansas City has done before the day they play. And that might help determine what you do. Week 18 is the flex game, and that might be a little different, right? Because what's going to happen there? They're going to pick the most interesting game to go on Sunday night, and what are the odds that Kansas City-Denver is going to go in there? The Bills and Patriots are not.
Right.
We know that. They're going to have nothing to play for divisionally. So maybe Chiefs-Broncos, but I think that's probably a big underdog to be like the Sunday night game. So I'd bet you play the same time as them in week 18. You're going to know before, though, in week 17 and week 16. And that's going to help determine. If you have the lead, especially, though, well, I don't know. You could really, I don't know what they would want to do with weeks in advance for the one seed, because they've usually been playing for the division down the stretch.
Right. All I'm getting at is
when we're debating this.
It's a one-game lead for the Chiefs right now because if the Bills have the tiebreaker. If the Chiefs extend that to two games with two left, you're like you said, like you'll know the Pittsburgh game. Let's say they win that. Okay, they clinch. All right, now I've got 2 weeks. Or they lose, I'm still alive. It's not the kind of thing where, not that the Bills would look at it this way, but let's just say the opponents were swapped. Like Kansas City closed out with a pair of cupcakes and you have a pair of tough tests, you might say, like, listen, what are the chances? They're not going to lose to Carolina in week 17. Instead, they have two playoff teams in week 17 and 18.
Right.
And you have two teams that have
four
wins.
Right.
So the race is likely to last, and even if Kansas City increases its lead, I think you're gonna push them the whole way.
This is why it's so important, maybe, that they did win that game on Sunday, because what would we be doing with the final month of the year if they hadn't? None of this would exist.
Yeah.
None of this would exist. They'd be 1% to get the one seed. The division race would be over. Man, good thing they won, because I would not have been able to pretend to be interested in the difference between the two and the three, I don't think.
803-0550 to join us in 1-888-550-2550. We'll be back in a snap. It's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official Apple of the Buffalo Bills. Jeremy White here for FanDuel Sportsbook, official partner of WGR. Every Friday night, FanDuel's giving all customers a bigger payout on select NBA first bets. First bets lets you get in the action from the opening tip. You can bet things like who will score the first basket, which team is the first to 15 points, and so much more. And best of all, you don't have to wait the whole game to see if you won. So look for Friday firsts in the FanDuel app and find your profit boost with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel.com/White to claim your Friday firsts profit boost. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA. 21 plus and physically present in New York. Opt-in required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
He is a strong personality. He's the face of the franchise. But it doesn't mean that he's getting it done by himself. It means he's getting it done with partnership, with ownership and personnel. You can't say for one second that team is not 100% together. They are. And that was the same thing with me and Mike Tannenbaum and when I was with the Jets in ownership there. And yeah, I was the face of the franchise because of the position that I was in. And guess what? I had a vision for the team and we weren't going to take any shit. And that's exactly how Dan Campbell is. And that's why I think the other thing is, too, get a guy that connects with the fan base and all that. That's why I want to be the next coach of the Jets. And that's what's going to give me. I don't care who the hell you put out there. Nobody's going to connect with this fan base the way I'm going to.
Rex Ryan campaigning for the Jet job. He said more.
He talked like... He kind of said when my opportunity was
like
a phrase he used a couple times.
He's like, going to get an interview?
He sounds like he knows he's getting an interview.
Quote, blow it up. We're going to blow the opponents up. There's way too much talent on this team to play the way we've been playing. Period. And how hard can you get a guy to play? That's the thing. Like, nobody's seen a team going to play the way as hard as this team's going to play in the future. Trust me. If I'm the guy, trust me. And that's going to be it. That's what's going to separate me from all these other guys you're going to bring in. Your Grudens, your whoever, whatever. Give me a break. They ain't bleep. They ain't New York Jets. I'm all about the Jets. And the great thing here's the thing. Yeah, you get a second chance at it. That doesn't happen very often. Well, when it does, it's usually special. And so we'll find out if I get that chance or not. If not, I hope they have one hell of a guy in place because I still want to be a fan of the Jets. I still want to be. But, you know, when I look around, I know nobody's better than me. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
One. Just.
Hold on.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I can pick that apart already.
Woody Johnson was awesome. I can tell you firsthand from my perspective, he was fantastic. You know what he's guilty of? He's guilty of giving you what you want. That's exactly what happened with this group. He gave them exactly what they wanted. You're convincing him that all you need is a quarterback? Well, he gave you a quarterback, the one you picked. He gave you everything you asked for. This man wants to win in the worst way. That's why I can tell you about Woody. From my perspective, he was fantastic. Fantastic. He wasn't the one who told you to go get Aaron Rodgers. You told him to go get Aaron Rodgers. And so that's what he did. And it never worked out. But at least he fired his gun. Why? Because he wants a championship.
Wow.
Rex.
He's talking like he's going to get the job.
I mean, that's just...
But that's how Rex talks a little bit, right? So like...
Sure. He's campaigning for the job. He's also, you know...
But he's talking in the sense that
the owner
I'm
on
going
the back.
To be... He's doing that, which might help him get the job. He also is talking like when we... Again, like he's talking like he's going to be the coach. But how would he know that at this point? Maybe he would. I don't know. Man, is there anything anyone in this division could do that you feel like would set them back to competing with the Bills than the Jets hiring Rex Ryan as their head coach? Is there any move any team in this division could make that would be respected less
than Rex?
Than Rex becoming the Jets coach. He also says in there, this is like one of the many things he said, is that it usually works the second time. Really? It does? When has it ever, at least in my lifetime, I can't ever remember a coach going back to a place for a second time. And I know Lindy Ruff is currently the Sabres coach, and it's not going horribly. But a coach going back to a place for a second time and it going great. You know? Didn't Art Schell go back to be the Raiders coach?
Yes.
That didn't work, I don't think. Probably doesn't happen that often in the NFL, though, to be fair. Right? How many times has a guy gone back to coach a place where he already was the coach? I remember that Art Schell one. I'm almost surprised I even thought of that. Like, I can't believe that it's happened many times.
Yeah, some guys do as like a coordinator.
Okay. Marv came back as the GM.
Raheem Morris was the defensive coordinator in Atlanta and then got the job. Or right, like you've had guys that go back.
Yeah.
Well, like that.
Sometimes they're a coordinator first,
right? And
right?
Then they go back as a head coach.
But how many times does a head coach have a second stint with a team? I bet it never, almost never happens. So, you know, what is he referencing there? Is he referencing like Billy Martin with the Yankees, who had 9 stints or something crazy? I don't know what he thinks is going to happen. He thinks he's Dan Campbell also, by the way. That's another point there. He thinks he's Dan Campbell.
Yeah, right.
He's going to walk in there and be the Lions. Okay, sure. I would love it. Sign me up right now. There's no move I would love more in the AFC East this summer than if the New York Jets hire Rex Ryan to be their head coach. After not coaching for, it's been 8 years. You might have thought the game already passed him by when he was the Bills coach at the end. He then has gone 8 years without coaching in the league as anything, not even a coordinator.
I think the story of like, what's Rex's time here known as? He had Tyrod.
Yeah.
He had
a great defense that he came in and then made average.
Yep.
Right?
Their defense got absolutely torched by Brady.
Yep.
He had the best game of his entire life against the Bills here in a game.
I remember him on a Thursday night against the Jets losing his mind
because they beat
them like 16-14.
You had 10 men on the field. You had bad punts.
Yep.
You had, I think, you know, you want to talk about culture.
There was
he hired his brother.
Yeah.
Like come on. Rob Ryan's defenses were terrible almost everywhere they went.
Didn't they get in a fight in the summer before that second season?
Yeah. When
they were out at a bar or
when
something.
When Rex was here, he was a sideshow.
Yeah. The biscuits, he ate cookies.
He was a caricature.
He wore Clemson helmets.
There's probably a direct domino line to the kind of coach that Rex was to Sean McDermott being the guy. Buttoned up professional.
Yeah.
He is not going to embarrass you.
Polar opposite in every way.
Yeah.
Both on like the character
right,
part.
Both defensive coaches, but this guy is going to exude
professionalism and
Like McDermott is a Tomlin guy. The standard is the standard. Like, you know, get on board with me. I take this seriously. And Rex is a guy, I mean, he's on TV right now. He's on TV right now because what? He probably can't envision himself going back as a defensive coordinator and
grinding it out.
Sure. And having somebody else be his boss.
Right.
Whereas, I don't know, like if McDermott were ever to get fired, don't you feel like he would just go be a coordinator and like get right back into the mix?
Yeah. 100%.
And I mean, these are like character guesses on some of these guys, but Rex was a sideshow. And then he went on television. Now he's campaigning on television to be the coach.
And that's why I would love it, because I feel like my expectation would be he would go there and it would just be a sideshow again.
Mark in Coconut Creek. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. A little chilly down here in Florida today, so it's definitely a football season. You know, everyone talked a little bit about Josh and quarterbacks. And you know, I was just talking to a buddy of mine, and we were wondering what the jersey sales might look like this year over Christmas. And we both thought like Josh is probably going to, you know, blow it out of the water with, you know, across the country with that younger generation who's really sort of, you know, looking towards that social media and the way he plays and the highlights. But, you know, we just wondered what you guys thought about that. And secondly, with the playoffs. I just like to avoid the Harbaugh brothers at all costs at the beginning, the Ravens and the Chargers. So anybody but them to get it started. So you guys have a good Thanksgiving and love the show.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I don't know how – I think for me, I don't make it about the Harbaugh brothers, though, usually. Like, to me, the Ravens threat is, for me, more about Lamar Jackson. And I think for most people, it's more about Derrick Henry. And then the Chargers – maybe the Chargers it is about Harbaugh. Because that team was chaotic. That team would find ways to lose games for their entire existence. And right now – They have an ability to win close games. Their quarterback looks better than he ever has, and their defense looks better than it ever has. So Harbaugh deserves, I think, most of the credit for turning that all around within 1 year, right? Like,
yep.
You might even say it's not even really all his guys yet.
He turns
it's still mostly a roster from the previous regime.
He turns it around everywhere he goes, and quick.
Yeah,
everywhere. You know, the results are pretty clear. 803-0550 to join us. You can give us a call on, anything we're talking about, whether it's the one seed race or
Rex is the Jets coach.
Sure. Eric in East Aurora. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just wanted to talk about the rehiring of a coach. Mm-hmm. The Bills actually did that in the 70s to great success with Lou Saban.
Okay. And
best seasons. Yeah, I mean, their best season in the 70s came with Lou Saban as the head coach in 75,
okay.
Where we beat the Steelers, made the playoffs finally, and had just lost out. I forget who we lost to in the playoffs before my time. But that's a good example of a coach that was let go and then came back and had some great success. So,
all right. Yep, I'm looking right now. Thanks, Eric, for the call. That's a little bit of part of the point, though, is you got to go back to the 1970s to find like when this has really happened. And he is an example. Won the AFL championship with the Bills, and then he came back and he had three winning seasons.
Joe Gibbs.
10 years later.
Is the name here. Joe Gibbs.
Was Joe Gibbs, though, the coach of he was the coach in Washington before?
Yeah.
And then left and came back? Was that good, though? Because the only thing I remember about his second stint is that he called... Didn't he call two timeouts against the Bills?
He did.
In a row?
He left in 92 and went back in 2004.
Okay.
Joe Gibbs. Jerry and Kenmore. Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a little sidetracked. I want to say something about Rex. But Baltimore, I am not concerned about them, and I'll give you one reason why. They are going to have to fight to get in the playoffs. And Derrick Henry is 31 years old, and he has twice the magic number of touches where that falling off point of 1,600 is. He's got 3,200 between college. He's going to run out of gas. They're not. He takes a lot of hits. I don't fear Derrick Henry at all. It's Lamar you have to fear. Quickly on Rex, I used to remember when he was here, his press conferences, and every one of them he'd say at one point during it, I know I'm a good coach. There's this old saying, if you have to tell somebody you're something, you're probably not.
Mm-hmm. I do remember him saying that a lot. Yeah, he went 15-16, but does it feel like anybody thought that went well at all?
No.
I don't. The best thing he might have done was pick the quarterback when he got here.
When they hired him, I thought it would go well.
And sorry, I don't mean pick a quarterback, like draft one. Like, he picked the right one out of three options. But you thought it would go well?
Yeah. I thought it would go well.
It was exciting.
Because he had the track record of being the best against Brady. He had that.
Right.
And the Bills were in the division with Brady. He was a good defensive coach. He'd made the playoffs.
He'd won playoff games. He beat the Patriots.
Yeah, like, there was a body of work there where... All right, this guy looks like he's a reasonably good coach. And then he came here, and I don't know if he didn't take the job seriously enough or whatever he did. He wants another crack at it with the Jets.
I think that's always kind of been out there a little bit.
Yeah, like,
he didn't take the job seriously.
If I'm the Jets and you're thinking about hiring him, aren't you asking him, like, what happened in Buffalo? What went on there? Were you in it the way you were when you were a first-time head coach with the Jets?
Maybe.
Were you just happy to be back in the game?
Maybe. If the Jets hire him, isn't it all about nostalgia? Isn't it all about nostalgia? 100%. I don't know that they ask him about the Bills days. Because they might just say, oh, Rex Ryan's the coach. Cool. This is he's won here before. Bam, that's it. I don't know what the Jets organization, I just wouldn't trust to do anything proper. So maybe not. And on the Henry point, okay, like is he worth it? Part of my point on him is I'm more afraid of Lamar as the threat because he is having an insane season. I don't know that I would tell you Henry is just going to fall off a cliff because he is different. He is an anomaly. That you're right. There is kind of a rule of thumb. 2,000 career touches. Almost every running back, that's kind of the simple truth. Between college and pro, you hit 2,000 career touches and then the wheels fall off. It happens for almost everybody right around that number. And Henry is well beyond that. But I don't think Henry's like any other running back.
That's right. There's a reason it's almost anybody because
it's
not him.
He's not included. Yep. This year, yards over expected. Like it's if you're wondering, oh, maybe it's just volume, them giving him the ball, he's number one in the league in yards over expected per carry.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR on a Football Friday.
Be caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR. Win a pair of tickets to see Brian Regan at the Buffalo State Performing Arts Center on Friday, May 9th. Tickets will go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Good luck.
All right. According to Tankathon.com, remaining schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Strength of schedule remaining.
Okay.
The Chiefs have the 16th toughest. The Bills have the 24th toughest. Put up a Twitter poll about this. Which is the tougher schedule to finish? Niners, Rams, Lions, Patriots, Jets, Patriots.
Okay.
Or Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, Browns, Texans, Steelers, Broncos.
I think it's the latter.
I think the Chiefs have the tougher schedule.
I think the Chiefs have a tougher schedule.
Carolina does a lot of work to pull one down, and Detroit does a lot of work to push one up.
Yeah.
But
The Raiders, too, a little bit.
Sure. But past that, like I think the Chiefs have the tougher schedule.
I think they have more challenging games. Right? The Bills play the best team. They have the hardest game. But I feel like the Chiefs have more of the tough games. Because you could say even... I don't know if I don't want to include Cleveland in that yet. They won last night. It was Pittsburgh, snow. They've got four games that, to me, are legitimately difficult. And the Bills have one that you know for sure is difficult?
Detroit, yeah. The Rams, maybe a little bit. And the Niners,
But if you... let's combine them.
I'll be so shocked if they lose to the Niners.
Very quick. Combine the two schedules. What's the toughest five games? At Lions is number one.
Yep.
Is number two at Pittsburgh?
Or at Denver. Or home Chargers.
Like, those might be the next three.
I would say those are the next three.
And then you're debating home Rams. Houston against at Rams.
Yeah.
And you could get to Houston very easily there, even though that game is at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs is tougher. The Bills division helped that a lot.
Yeah, right. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. The Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy when we return on WGR.